Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome everyone. Let's start off by going to www.wiserliving.com. Please go there, and on that initial page, guess what you'll see? You'll see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. There's a pop-up there that you can fill in your details. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded, and we recently uploaded one, so you want to go there and check that out. By subscribing, you not only get access to the educational videos, but you will be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs, the services, Wiser Living seminars, especially the recipes and products. So do take a look at your earliest convenience. So once again, check out and sign up at wiserliving.com. Subscribe to Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. Like us at facebook.com/wiserliving. And you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and also Pinterest. Okay, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters. I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune in today to this broadcast today. Your time is valuable. I am truly grateful. I'm thankful and all those words for your participation. And so over the next 28 minutes, we are going to increase our knowledge. We're going to get fired up, pumped up, and excited because we're going to talk about thyroid. What is the thyroid and what is its role in the body? Your thyroid is one of the largest endocrine glands. It has an influence in and on every cell in your body, and that's critical. The thyroid regulates your metabolism. It regulates your weight by controlling the fat-burning process, and not only that, thyroid hormones are also required for the growth and development in children and in nearly every physiological process in your body. That's key. How important is the thyroid gland to your everyday wellness? Well, every single physiological process that your entire body performs, each and every second, is facilitated at the cellular level. Your cells, trillions of them, make up organs and glands like your thyroid. So when you look at your thyroid, every physiological process that starts at the cellular level, and the thyroid produces hormones that are necessary for proper functioning of every physiological process in your body. Meaning, when your thyroid levels are out of balance, so are you. So let me say that again. When your thyroid levels are not balanced, you are not balanced. Too much or too little secretion of the hormones in this gland is a prescription for, if not disaster, towards your overall health and your overall well-being. And much of the research out there shows that 10 to 40% of those living in the United States have below optimal levels of thyroid function. And poor thyroid function has been linked to some very serious conditions like irritable bowel syndrome, autoimmune diseases, acne, fibromyalgia, infertility, gum disease, and eczema. But how does this butterfly-shaped gland that is located inside your neck, right under your voice box, how does it work? It's only 2 inches long, with a bunch of blood vessels attached to it. It has two lobes on each side of your windpipe that weighs between 20 and 60 grams. That's about 0.7 to 2 ounces. As a matter of fact, your thyroid is responsible for producing the master metabolism hormones like that basically control every function in your body. It produces three types of hormones, triiodothyronine or T3, thyroxin or T4, and diiodothyroxin or T2. So those three hormones, T2, T3, and T4, secreted by your thyroid, interacts with all of your other hormones, including insulin, cortisol, and sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And the fact that these hormones are all tied together and they're in constant communication explains why a less than optimal thyroid, that status, is associated with so many different diseases and symptoms. So almost 90% of the hormone produced by your thyroid is in the form of T4. This is the inactive form. It can travel through your bloodstream. It takes a ride and arrives at your liver where it's converted to T3, the active form. So the thyroid needs the liver to function properly in order for it to function properly. And remember, the liver is a detoxification center as well as a manufacturing plant for what? Cholesterol, which is needed to make all of your hormones in your body. So you need more than one organ for the thyroid to function. If everything is working properly, you'll make what you need and have the correct amounts of T3 and T4, which control the metabolism of every single cell in your body. I hope you're getting that. If your T3 is inadequate, either because there's not enough being produced or the T4 hormone from the thyroid is not converted into its active form, which is T3, right, by the liver, then your entire system, T3 is critically important because it tells the nucleus of your cell to send messages to your DNA to rev up your metabolism by burning fat, F-A-T. This, by the way, is how T3 lowers cholesterol levels. Remember, T4 goes to the liver where cholesterol is made to become active. Your T3 levels can be disrupted by nutritional imbalances. Those levels can be disrupted by toxins. T3 levels can be disrupted by allergens and infections. It can also be disrupted by the number two health challenge called stress. And this will lead to a series of complications, including thyroid cancer, hypothyroidism, and hyperthyroidism, which today are three of the most prevalent thyroid-related diseases. Let's go a little deeper. Hypothyroidism occurs when your thyroid produces too little thyroid hormone, a condition that is often linked to iodine deficiency. And approximately 10% of the general population in the United States and 20% of women over age 60 have subclinical hypothyroidism. That's a condition where you have no obvious symptoms and only slight abnormal lab tests when you go to the doctor to get your blood work done. You know, many of these individuals are being treated because of misinterpretation and the misunderstanding of the lab test, especially the TSH or thyroid stimulating hormone, which is not produced in the thyroid. It's above it, like the hypothalamus. Most physicians believe that if your TSH value is within the normal range, your thyroid is fine. But more and more physicians are now finding out that the thyroid stimulating hormone value is really not very reliable for diagnosing hypothyroidism. Identifying hypothyroidism is not easy because many of the symptoms are vague and they overlap with other disorders. So what I mentioned, you can. There's a lot of other disorders that have the same issue, same symptoms. It can be missed by physicians because they don't do enough tests. And the most sensitive way to find out is to get this. Listen to your body. You know, people with a sluggish thyroid usually experience fatigue, lack of energy. That's one of the typical signs. Depression has also been linked to the condition. Anyone who's been diagnosed with depression should have the doctor check their thyroid levels. But not all tiredness or lack of energy can be blamed on a dysfunctional thyroid gland. You know, thyroid-related fatigue begins to appear when you can't sustain energy long enough, especially when compared to a past level of fitness or a past level of ability. Like, I used to do this before, man, I can't do it anymore. Well, you'll notice that you just don't have the energy to do things like you've done before. Some of the obvious signs of thyroid fatigue include falling asleep as soon as you sit down or feeling like you don't have the energy to exercise or you're not exercising on a consistent basis or a heavier, tired head, especially in the afternoon since your head is a very sensitive indicator of thyroid hormone status. Now, gaining weight easily or having difficulty losing weight, even though you are on a good exercise program and you're even watching what you eat, is an indicator of a sluggish thyroid. Now, if you have dry skin that doesn't respond well to good moisturizing lotions or non-toxic creams, you should consider hypothyroidism as a factor. Women especially would want to pay attention to their thyroid gland when they experience unexplained hair loss. Feeling cold all the time is another sign of low thyroid function. People that don't sweat during mild exercise or warm up slowly, even in a sauna. A sauna may have thyroid issues. Another important sign of a thyroid gland issue that is underactive is a low basal body temperature. That's a temperature that is less than 97.6 degrees Fahrenheit, or in Celsius, it's 36.4 degrees Celsius over a three-day period. So you need to do it 3 days to get a baseline. So to check your temperature, place a thermometer near your bed, your nightstand, and when you wake up in the morning, the next morning, before you get out of bed, do not get out of bed, place the thermometer under your arm, your armpit, and just lie there for 10 to 15 minutes. Meditate, think about something, just relax. Relax and then read it. If it's below 97.6, your thyroid is sluggish. Any of those symptoms can be suggestive of an underactive thyroid. So the more of these symptoms that you have, the higher the chances that you have the disorder. And if anyone in your family is dealing with these conditions, that increases your risk of thyroid problems. So once again, symptoms of a low thyroid are the most common is fatigue. The skin can become dry, cold, rough, and scaly. Hair becomes coarse, brittle, and grows slowly, or it may fall out excessively. There's a sensitivity to cold with feelings of being chilly in rooms of normal temperature. Difficulty for a person to sweat and their perspiration may be decreased or even absent with exercise and hot weather conditions. So because where we are right now, it's hot. I mean, it's really hot. Another problem is constipation. Constipation that is resistant to magnesium supplementation and other mild herbal-type laxatives is another common symptom. A difficulty in losing weight despite adhering to a low-grain diet, especially in women, and depression, obviously, and muscle weakness. But these symptoms can be seen in other conditions, of dysfunctional conditions as well. So what about increased activity of the thyroid, which is called hyperactive thyroid dysfunction? Remember the T2, T3, T4? I said it actually backwards, T4, T3, T2. Well, T4 is that hormone that, remember, carries throughout your body and your bloodstream that's activated in your liver. So cells depend on thyroxine or T4 to work properly. An overactive thyroid secretes too much thyroxine or T4. Causing some of your body functions to accelerate, and in some cases, dramatically accelerate. About 8 in 100 women and 1 in 100 men develop hyperthyroidism at some point in your lives, even though it can occur at any age. And symptoms of hyperthyroidism are feelings of restlessness, nervousness, emotional issues, irritability, you're sleeping poorly, and you're having that feeling like you're always on the go, even when you're trying to rest. It's like you get that fidgety feeling. And other symptoms include having difficulty concentrating, having frequent bowel movements, irregular menstrual periods, or lack of a menstrual period in women, obviously, rapid weight loss, and rarely there's a weight gain, a rapid and forceful or irregular heartbeat, they call it tachycardia, protruding eyes, a condition called exophthalmos. It looks like they have bug eyes, and that's kind of rare. But some of these symptoms may be unnoticeable at first and then become worse as the thyroxine levels start to go higher and higher. And according to the National Cancer Institute at the National Institutes of Health, there is an estimated 60,000, 60,000 plus new cases and over 1,800 deaths from thyroid cancer in the United States alone. And just like with any other type of cancer, early intervention heightens your chances of remission and recovery. Now, obviously, this is why you should look out for possible clues. You know, some potential warning signs of thyroid cancer include unusual lumps, nodules, bumps, or swelling in the neck, pain in the front of the neck, or throat, hoarseness, or other voice changes that don't go away, a constant cough is not that's not due to having a common cold. No, I don't know why they say common cold, but a cold. Females are three times more vulnerable to developing thyroid cancer than males. Two-thirds of these cancers occur between 20 and 55 years of age. Having someone in your family with thyroid cancer, other related thyroid diseases, or goiter is an indication. And goiter, by the way, is an abnormal enlargement of the thyroid, which is painless, but there is difficulty on swallowing and breathing combination. These are all clues. The most common cause of goiter, at least worldwide, is a lack of iodine. A lack of iodine in the diet. Treatment depends on the size of the goiter, the symptoms or nodules that develop in the gland itself. Now, the small ones usually get these little small nodules that aren't noticeable, and they don't cause problems, which means you don't need treatment. Topical or typical, and not topical, but typical medications for hypothyroidism are Levoxyl, levothyroid, and Synthroid. Those of you that have been diagnosed with hypothyroidism know exactly what I'm talking about, because a lot of you are taking these, because I see a lot of people that have been on it are taking this medication. And the individuals that are on it, most people who take, Synthroid or levothyroid or Levoxyl, they're still on it. They never stop. You never stop taking it, even though it's a low dose, and a lot of the side effects you don't get with that medication as you would with a lot of other, like, over-the-counter medications like aspirin. And rather than taking thyroid medication, it's very important to identify the underlying causes of thyroid. You may need to take medication until you have corrected the underlying problem, but simply taking thyroid hormone replacement drugs, yes, they are thyroid hormone replacement. Hormone replacement drugs for a lifetime doesn't feed the thyroid to correct the problem. It just passes it. It just bypasses it. Now, taking the medication does help increase energy when the body is supplied with some of the hormones it's supposed to make on its own. On its own is a key phrase here. But none of these drugs actually restore thyroid function. So you do get benefit. Definitely get benefit, because you're going to get energy. And many people who start taking, let's say, the Synthroid or the medication like that, Levoxyl, they get the energy. They can go to work. They can, they're not falling asleep, dozing off in the car while they're driving. If it's kind of the temperature is warm in the car, they don't come home and sit down and just plop down on the couch and they just can't do anything. They do get energy. So there is a benefit there, even though it's just passing the organ that's supposed to, or in this case, a gland that's supposed to make it. It just passes it by, so it's not going to do it. It's like a crutch. So taking the medication does help. It helps decrease the energy. But taking these drugs won't restore the thyroid function. Since the thyroid makes a hormone called calcitonin that allows for the absorption of calcium, people who just take thyroid hormone replacement drugs won't actually fix the underlying problem, and calcium absorption will be impaired. Now we've got another problem that you don't typically think of. So a lot of times, and calcium, by the way, is needed in many enzymatic reactions in the body. I'm talking about hundreds of them. And a lot of times these people will experience bone loss, and this is one reason why many people with hypothyroidism experience osteoporosis. Now, obviously, before discontinuing thyroid hormone replacement medication, always check with your doctor who prescribed it to you in the first place. Got to put that in there, because I don't want people thinking that, oh, I'm treating you now, but I'm not. So I'm saying if someone prescribed a thyroid replacement hormone, you need to talk to them to get off of it. They have to do it, okay? Don't you do it on your own. But in the meantime, there are a number of ways you can feed your thyroid, a number of ways that you can feed your thyroid and improve its health. There are some things that you can do. A number of health professionals, they even recommend that you eat only certain types of foods or oils. As a matter of fact, there are a number of healthcare professionals that are recommending that you eat only coconut oil or consume coconut oil, virgin olive oil, red palm oil, and butter from organic grass-fed cows, obviously. Coconut oil is one of the most stable oils because it's a medium-chain triglyceride. Medium-chain triglyceride. And I know that, you know, you don't have to worry about all the science, just remember coconut oil. It when we talk about coconut oil, it will not easily turn to trans fatty acids when heated, whereas some other oils will. So since it won't easily turn to trans fatty acids when heated, it makes it one of the best oils for cooking, along with red palm oil, yeah? So you should avoid, let me say it one more time, you should avoid all other cooking oils, like vegetable oil, soybean oil, and never eat in corn oil, and never eat margarine, ever, and read every single label on packaged foods that you're going to put in your basket before you buy it. If you see vegetable oil, canola oil, soybean oil, if it's listed, don't buy it. I know some of you are going to be upset with this, but because it seems like canola oil is in everything, or cottonseed oil, or all these different weird oils, I mean, it's there. Don't buy it. Be aware that most commercial salad dressings contain soybean oil or other polyunsaturated oils. When you're out at a restaurant, ask the server to bring you some lemon slices and olive oil so you can make your own salad dressing. Restaurant fried foods, by the way, are an issue because the oils used are heated to very high temperatures and they're often used over and over again for deep frying. Because I have some clients, you know, patients that are cooks and chefs. So I'm just not coming off the top of my head here. So they are loaded with trans fatty acids. You know, many people have improved their thyroid health or have lost weight and increased their energy by including 2 to 3 tablespoons of virgin unrefined coconut oil in their daily diet. And this can be incorporated as a cooking oil when sautéing, say, onions or vegetables to cooking your eggs and even baked dishes. It can be put in smoothies as well. So there's another way to get it in. You should also nourish your thyroid by consuming plenty of iodine-rich foods. Now, iodine, there's a lot of information on iodine. I spent several hours reading over information. And iodine is the most abundant in sea vegetables, fish, seafood, and organic pastured eggs. And you can season foods with kelp powder, Himalayan sea salt. Matter of fact, check out, we have a video on Soleil. You can just type in the search box, Dr. Budweiser, on YouTube, Dr. Budweiser Soleil, S-O-L-E, and it'll pull it up. You should check that video out because iodine is in that solution in a format, in a molecular format that can actually get into the cell. So eat more fish, especially the smaller cold water fish such as salmon. Avoid farm-raised mackerel, halibut, sole and red snapper. And you probably want to avoid the larger fish like tuna and swordfish because of the high mercury level. A number of nutrients have been shown to contribute to thyroid health, and they include zinc, selenium, the B vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin A. And so you want a good plant matrix vitamin and mineral source. Hypothyroidism individuals have been shown to have difficulty converting beta carotene to vitamin A. You may want to check out our YouTube video on that, on beta carotene. And also we have a written article on it as well at wiserliving.com, so check that out. Selenium is also involved in the conversion of T4 to T3. So low selenium levels could lead to low T3 levels. And because mercury will displace selenium, you could benefit from a detoxification program periodically. You know, we have a 14-day and a 28-day program as well to assist you there. And not only that, vegetable juicing can be helpful in restoring the thyroid as well as your entire body. You know, radishes. You know what radishes are, right? I think there was a cartoon or an animated cartoon about radishes, somebody's radishes, I don't know. But anyway, a sulfur compound that's found in radish is a regulator of thyroxine and calcitonin, which is a peptide hormone. When enough of this sulfur compound is circulating in the bloodstream, the thyroid is less apt to over or underproduce the hormone, you know, the hormones that it makes. So another juice you can consume is cranberry. Cranberry is another juice, a good juice to drink. Make sure it's organic. As you nourish your thyroid, you also want to avoid foods and substances that can tax this important gland or interfere with the absorption of nutrients. Too much of certain nutrients can block iodine from being absorbed by the thyroid gland, so you may want to cut back on these goitrogens like turnips, cabbage, and I love cabbage. Unless it's fermented. If it's fermented, that's different. So all of these that I'm going to say to avoid, if you can ferment them, you can consume them. Turnips, cabbage, mustard greens, cassava root, pine nuts, millet, peanuts, and soybeans. Now, at least until the thyroid health, your thyroid health is restored. When your thyroid health is healthy again and you no longer have symptoms, you can add them back into your diet. And if you start feeling lethargic, then you know that one you need to eliminate. Just totally eliminate from now on. So the foods to watch out for most are soybean oil and salad dressing, textured vegetable protein, and I know this is going to hurt some of you, peanut butter. Yes, you got to watch out for the peanut butter. Foods that are most taxing on the thyroid are foods like refined grains, sugar, and sweets, and sweets, chocolate, caffeine. I'm not even going to go into caffeine, I know, because people get upset when I start talking about caffeine and stuff that's in, that caffeine is in. Hydrogenated and partially hydrogenated oils and alcohol. So avoid all refined grains such as white bread, enriched wheat bread, rolls, biscuits, pancakes, pizza dough, and pasta and buns. So pretty much all the bread. The peanut butter now, check this out. The peanut butter sandwich, you know, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, I could taste it, but I haven't had it in, I don't know, years. But anyway, the peanut butter sandwich is a great example of a really bad choice for the thyroid. Refined grain bread and peanut butter equals a goitrogen. So avoid refined sugar in all forms, white, brown, corn syrup, fructose, brown rice syrup. Just don't do it. Reduce your stress levels. This is going to be a challenge here. Reduce your stress levels. You want to reduce or decrease anger, grief, guilt, anxiety, and get a handle on fear, because they tax the thyroid like nobody's business. And then there's pesticides, environmental stress, heavy metals, yeast overgrowth in the gut, and medical stress. Yes, there's medical stress from radiation, x-rays, and drugs, medication. You also want to avoid fluoride and mercury as much as possible by using a good water filtration system that removes fluoride and chlorine in your home. Buy toothpaste that is fluoride-free. You may have to stand there in that aisle and look through it. You may have to go to a health food store, but you need to get toothpaste that is fluoride-free. And exercise. Exercise is probably the most important with hypothyroidism. Exercise stimulates the thyroid gland secretion and it increases tissue sensitivity to thyroid hormones. So choose exercise that fit the energy level. I can go on and on, but our time has run out, or it's running out. So be sure to go to wiserliving.com and sign up there, subscribe to Wiser Living TV, follow us on Wiser Living Radio. Like us at facebook.com/wiserliving, and you can also connect with us at Google, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser. See you later.